this is Diolus Saint, introducing Saint Gregory. To the Romans, the years after 476 AD must have seemed like the end of the world. The Roman Emperor Justinian had moved the government from Rome in Italy to the safer and quieter city of Constantinople. The strong Roman army had long since disappeared, and Rome was left with only her walls. There was no real military force to stop the invading barbarian tribes and maintain order. What had earlier been the center of the civilized world was repeatedly robbed, destroyed, and burned by invaders looking for treasure. By 573, Rome was described as ruins upon ruins everywhere. The buildings were deserted, and the population had dwindled from about 1 million to 40,000, and its citizens faced daily fears of hardships, robbery, and even murder. Gregory was born in about 540 AD. His childhood seemed to be happy. His father had been an administrator of one of the regions of Rome, and during the year-long siege of the city by the Lombards in 568, the family probably went to stay at one of their estates in Sicily. Gregory received his schooling at the university, which by then had reopened, and because of his obvious talents, did well. When he was 30 years old, he was appointed to be the chief administrator, or mayor, of Rome. He enjoyed his work and was widely respected. But gradually, a feeling grew within him that he could serve God better as a monk than in public office. He sold his many possessions, transformed his home into a monastery, and placed himself under the direction of a spiritual advisor. For a period of 3 years, he happily sought for a closer union with God, and was rewarded with many spiritual gifts. But the Pope knew of his talents, and appointed him as a deacon to administer one of the seven regions of the Roman Church. Next, he was sent as papal representative to the court in Constantinople to ask for military aid to ward off the threatening barbarian invaders. Several friends accompanied him, to whom he gave regular sermons during the year. Years later, he revised and published these talks under the title Morals on the Book of Job, which became a major work. But his stay in Constantinople was not successful. The emperor was more concerned with his own wars than with aiding the Pope in Italy. And at the same time, Gregory was not attracted to the daily intrigues and plots which were accepted as a necessary part of court life. He returned to Italy and continued to serve as advisor to the Pope. The year 589 had particularly stormy periods in which heavy rainfall caused the Tiber River to flood the city on two different occasions. Crops were ruined and the people died from starvation and disease. No one was safe. Even Pope Pelagius II took sick and died. The clergy and people agreed that Gregory should be their new pope. But this news was not welcome to Gregory, who wanted only to be close to God and have no part of public life. He felt he was not ready for this new responsibility and even wrote to the emperor begging him not to approve the appointment. In the meantime, Gregory encouraged all of Rome's citizens to take part in the public 3-day penitential procession. The people were to gather at the church in their area and process to the church St. Mary Major, where they would pray for pardon for their sins. Everyone, even the sick, took part, some being so sick from the plague that they died along the way. On the third day, according to the legend, people saw the archangel Saint Michael appear atop Hadrian's tomb, returning the sword of God's anger into its scabbard. Immediately the plague began to subside. To this day, the tomb of Emperor Hadrian, which is next to Saint Peter's Basilica, is named Castle Saint Angel, and has as its top a large statue of the archangel just as he appeared. As the time for Gregory's appointment drew near, he attempted to leave the city, but alert citizens found him and returned him to St. Peter's, where he was quickly installed as the new pope. If he was fearful before, now he was determined to do everything which he felt was expected of his office. He wrote down his exact duties, so not only he, but the world would see by what standards he was to be judged. This book, called Pastoral Care, became the guide for bishops and priests who for centuries afterwards were given a copy for their personal use on the day of their ordination. He considered preaching one of his primary duties, and published the schedule of the churches in Rome in which he would assist on special feast day, say Mass, and give the sermon. These talks became so popular that the basilicas overflowed with people who came to hear Golden Mouth, as he was nicknamed. His talks were even copied by hand and passed around among his enthusiastic readers. Because of widespread poverty, low morals, poor education, and a weak government, Gregory found few others who were willing or able to care for the physical needs of the people. He felt personally responsible to help those who were hungry, sick, or dying. He had cooked meals delivered to the poor and kept records so the needy could receive regular help of clothes, bedding, or money. His charity extended beyond the Roman citizens to the sick and wounded refugees who entered the city seeking protection from the advancing Lombards who threatened to attack. The Roman soldiers were poorly equipped, and their military leaders showed little courage in defending the city or even making an attempt to find peace. It seemed that the once strongest city of the Western Roman world would surely be destroyed. Gregory was the only person to confront the enemy Lombards outside of the walls. By himself, he negotiated a peace which saved the city from destruction and permitted peace for some years. Most of the money for Gregory's charities came from the revenues of the 1,800 square miles of church-held lands. Gregory had accurate records kept, so he knew exactly what was being produced and in what quantities. His greatest expense was the annual tribute to the Lombards and the ransoms he paid to purchase the freedom of slaves. When this supply of money ran low, he ordered that some of the furnishings of the various churches be sold. The accounts of the lands showed a profit, but because of his many great charities, the treasury always seemed empty. But Gregory was not interested in maintaining the past. He recognized that the times were changing. He patiently wrote letter after letter to the newly Christianized barbarian rulers, reminding them to be charitable toward others and their own responsibility for God's love. He encouraged the unification of the method of singing the parts of the Mass into a musical style known today as Gregorian chant. He had for a long time felt the need to spread the message of Christ. There is a legend which describes how earlier Gregory, filled with missionary zeal, had gathered several friends and set off for England, only to be brought back by the people of Rome, who feared that they were going to lose him. But as Pope, he was able to effectively begin the conversion of England by sending 40 missionaries to this distant island, described by the Romans as a land inhabited by unknown savages. Many of the great achievements of Gregory were accomplished while he suffered from great physical pain. For many years he suffered from severe swelling of the stomach lining, as well as gout, which caused the bone joints to become inflamed. He described his condition when he wrote in a letter, "A burning pain racks me. Both my mind and body yearn for release where they are tortured by terrible agonies." Gregory was an outgoing person who did not withhold from demonstrating his feelings. He loved music and ordinary simple people. He wanted to live a quiet life, but was forced to live observed by all, where every action, every spoken and written word was judged according to the standards of God, society, and politicians. At times we may find ourselves choosing to do something or even live a life not because it pleases us, but because we recognize that God has given us opportunities to serve Him and do His will. We must realize that He is asking us to become the instruments through which He works for His own greater glory and honor.
Thank you for calling Dial the Saint.